Там скатна вау, но вагу мага нак дала с вас кет на цига, со найк сеге гану цинни, я. Эго майя, I'm here with my intua here, Mr. Jay Williams, and you know, I've known my intua for a long time, and I'm very grateful to have him, you know, as a friend, you know, and you know, nawagu maga na kwakuto, and you know, he's my intua, you know, we're really close that way when I say he's my intua, right? So, but that's another story. So I know I've been wanting to interview him for a long time because I've always been really intrigued with his journey with the Nehiyowi win, with the language. And so I'm going to ask him some, you know, some basic stuff, but I just want everybody to hear, you know, his story. So I'm going to ask him, you know, stuff like, you know, Tante Kitsiga, Sun Tante Otsigia, you know, how long have you been speaking the language? Who helped you with learning the language? You know, I mean, what's something you could do to, you know, that would help, you know, for even for me to, you know, to practice the language. So, and then he'll do his introduction, and then he'll talk some Wapskuyas language, maybe some suck, some Sekpatas Wias language. That's not a word, but okay. I'm going to my own toa here. I'm going to hand it over to him, and he's his first year Ogamau here. He's an Ogamau here in Blue Quills, and we're grateful that he's here, though. So, but all right, Xamaga, I'm with my intoa talk here.
Tanse J. Williams Nitsigasun, Unitskopun Neutinia, Ectomayu Pigigoyan, Maga initao Giani Uteo Maya Asniuti, Ipitaguti Anamutuma in Stuka Pitatapunian, Egitaguti Anamutum and Itskapun. Ego tatigi skamana no kumpane ego na msumpan to giugotik ekta mama kape ekta mama ga iga simutik nesto mane ni heoitik pisa to ye nstu tok ego nutau i panu iste nesto mane gi ni heoit kak yon ge nutau i sak ego ya nesugus sak Visto au, nesto mane, ine heoitsik hinnan tuutaa, tsik maa nae. Piisin niistä, nistuu toop, tän samama i piivit maa goujaan. Ego ae, nesto maa nae, nutau i pane, Lazar Whiskey Jack giitao. Ego ae, nukum pan Curline Whiskey Jack giitao. Ego ae, nimusum pan Ben Whiskey Jack giitao. Ego nan gika Egik snamati kumuma ne heupik skona. Eg tamani nam mae nesto mana kape awasu yane. Negiguna anak egi tuta chika ne heusi chigeona nana tuki goe mamus chigeona. Eg tamame inan tuto chik mi nae ki teak mina kutak rangi ka isino ki ene heuetik I gagi sumuetik. Ito mami namai piks namago yano muma piks kona.
Egoya, can you kind of translate what you were just talking about with your introductions and just kind of tell us about you know, of course you had mentioned your language journey, but to kind of translate what you just said and kind of think back when you were a tiny little gusum there and, you know, growing up from that area and then coming up to learning the language, hearing it, and just kind of think, well, what did I pick up to really want to learn the language? And I know for sure there in Choa that, you know, we could talk a little bit about, you know, ceremony as well, you know, and, you know, what how that played a big role in your upbringing with the Nehiyowi win. So, Aumaga, let's have a little bit of a translation there.
So, yeah, my name is Jay Williams. I'm from Sad Lake, Alberta. I was born in Mission, British Columbia, and I came over here when I was to Sad Lake when I was 3 years old, and I would go and I spent a lot of time with my grandparents, mm-hmm. and they wouldn't speak English. They were always spoken in the language, and then my late dad as well. My late grandfather was Ben Whiskey Jack. My late grandma was Caroline Whiskey Jack. And my late father is Lazar Whiskey Jack. My mom is Roberta Whiskey Jack. But yeah, I grew up around the language on a daily basis, immersed in it. A lot of my uncles and my aunts, they all speak. Some of them still alive, they speak the language. And my parents, they brought us around to a lot of different types of ceremonies too. And there in ceremony, you'd hear different relatives and different people from different regions speaking the language, and also a lot of elders praying in the language. So I was very fortunate to have been raised that way. I often joke and tease a little bit about after how many willows you figure out what they're saying real quick. Just kind of some little bit of humor. But yeah, basically immersed in the language growing up. It's a lot different nowadays. We hardly have as many fluent speakers. And a lot of our homes, it's not spoken as frequently as it used to be.
I was just thinking about, you mentioned that, and you're not the only one in Tua that, you have to be immersed in that language and you have to be around it, 24/7, which is a hard thing to do now, because I know you have mentioned that, you were very fortunate to have, parents, like, well, my grandparents to teach you that. And even, when you're thinking about them teaching you, they just to be around it, that's a teaching tool itself. So I know we have a lot of people that are trying to reclaim that language, and they're trying to, wake that language up again, that language spirit inside them. Nistumen, I know for me, my language journey just recently began, Moigwanese, about 7 years ago now for me. And I know it's a lifetime language and a lifetime journey, learning this language. What's one thing that, from you, because I know, you're working here at Blue Quilts, you're a teacher now. What's something advice that you could give to our Oskaisak to find different means to learning the language? What's something easy for them to learn the language?
Myself personally, just in a short while here, I kind of switched gears. I was, I am a journeyman mechanic, and I was in that trade for many, many years. And I kind of looked around our community and I thought to myself, there's hardly any people my age or younger that actually speak or understand the language. And it would be something to try and give back to the community. So that's why I decided to switch gears and enrolled myself here at the university for the Nehiyowin program, and trying to do my part to try and, like you said, revitalize the language. I often wonder, and I'm trying to figure it out myself, to try and spark the young people's interest, to maintain their interest, for them to want to learn. Not because they have to or they need to, but because they want to. And not just to have their interest for a moment, but to maintain that interest, to keep them to continue to want to learn the language, the culture. There's so much that we're losing on a daily basis. And I'm trying to figure it out my own self, what we could do to spark that interest, to maintain that interest.
Hey, tapwe. Well, there in Tua, I ask for taking the time to speak to us here on our Cree Chatter Hour. I'm going to ask for one favor from you before we go. You're a wonderful Nagamowino, and we were hoping to get a beautiful song from you, my friend, and that beautiful, Native American church. Just a thank you song, if you can do that, that'd be real nice. Okay, I will. This is Jay Williams. I'm going to do a song. Oh, geez. Okay, well, Monato, we'll scratch that out. We'll cut that out there. But any closing words there in Choa before we hit the road here? You know, a little thank you, so, you know, something to that extent.
Yeah, just want to encourage all our young people over there to out there to go and try and learn your language, try and learn the language and keep it up. Agame mo kaipu me.
I got one more thing. Get up at Sagi, how?
Mister
here. Well, that's good for an interview. Ksimaga no wagumaga nag. This is Dallas Waskihan. Elvis Presley, Ksimaga. Kitam.
Hi, Dallas, for getting us that awesome interview. We want to say hi to Jay Williams as well for loaning us a little bit of his time. You know, I really like hearing, like I mentioned before, how we talk to different Nehiwewin speakers and how we hear the similarities and the differences on how they learned and picked up the language. A lot of them, like you said before, Dallas, they talk about immersing themselves in it. And that's something that we don't have too much. We don't have that too much anymore. Like he was mentioning, there isn't too many fluent speakers anymore. So that's why we try find different ways of learning and retaining this language and sharing it.
Yeah, he always mentions, you know, that he was really fortunate to have his dad speak the language fluently, his uncles. He talks about his late grandparents as well, always just speaking the language. And, you know, to where he's at today, you know, speaking with him, he was really in the abusive, you know. Mm-hmm. He didn't really, you know, feel comfortable. And
that's why I said I'm really thankful, because I know a lot of these people that we've been interviewing, it's sometimes their first interview or it's something that they don't really do. But that's why it means so much to us, because they share really amazing stories. Dallas, you said you grew up around the language too, and that's something all you heard growing up with your nuka, your gukum, and you know, your family, right? When you were a little boy.
Yeah, I heard it quite a bit with my Gido, and my Gido spoke fluent Ukrainian.
No, for real though. Like,
no, for real.
I remember you mentioning to me when we first got together that, you know, Cree was your first language until you had to go to school.
It was, absolutely. I like saying absolutely though, but I recall in grade 3 we were in Edmonton, and I spoke fluent Cree. Because I remember speaking to another Nehio squill.
And she spoke,
and she spoke Cree right back to me. And she was asking where I was from, and I told her where I was from. And I spoke back to her and asked her where she was from. And I remember that so fluently and so clear, like it was almost a dream. And I remember by the time we came back from Edmonton and, you know, from there. But being in Edmonton, I really wanted to learn the Wapskuyas language, that borrowed language. That Manchamantu language. I can honestly say that being submersed in it, that was the only language I knew, and to wanting to learn.
And that was from just being at home with fluent Cree speakers, like you said, right? Yeah. You know, you were raised by your grandparents, and that's all you guys heard.
That's all we heard.
And that's something, a similarity we're seeing in a lot of these interviews with our fluent speakers who are doing the work to help teach other people to speak is. A big part of what helped their fluency was being around it all the time at home. It's like, you know, myself, the only way I heard it was through my dad or music or when I started going to school. And imagine if we all had that awesome blessing to have it in our homes and be around it all the time. But I know you said that, though, when you were little. So are you saying that before you went to Edmonton, even in Frog Lake School, you would probably hear Nehiwewin a lot, right?
Yeah, it was actually really, you know, quite a bit from kindergarten to grade 1, grade 2, and then right to grade 3. Then we ended up moving to Edmonton, and then I was there for a few years till I was came back when we were in grade 5 and 6. And
did you have, just from that couple of years in Edmonton, were you still able to kind of hold on to the language by the time you returned back to Frog Lake?
That's what it was. I had lost the language from there, then coming back to Frog Lake. And
one thing I noticed, though, like even when we first met, and this was kind of before your language journey started, you still understood quite a bit. You didn't speak it as much, but you understood quite a bit, and I remember that. And I think that's why it was so easy for you to kind of find that groove back in learning the language and speaking it, because I started the language journey just a little before you, and you came in, and it's almost like you surpassed me when it came to fluency, but it's because you had that, like, that blood memory of it. It was something like that spirit you were talking about.
I woke it up. I woke it up again. That's something I heard. I went Sky and you know, Nahil. We went from, you know, late, you know, late that Davis Swindler. That was his. That was his quote, and I'll always remember that.
That, and he's just a young man as
Yeah, he was a young man, and you know, you talked about how easy it was for me to learn the language. It was, you know, especially if you're easy. You know,
Swiss, we don't want you to be easy. Those days are long, long gone.
I spend my now long, long gone.
Long gone.
Yeah, long gone. Us.
But that's what, you know, that's what we're here for. We're here to encourage people and remind people our language is still very much alive, and it's up to each and every single one of us to keep it going and keep it alive. You know, we got to turn ourselves into that, into those fluent speakers that we hear and that we want to learn from, so we can teach the next generation. Because who's going to speak this language, you know, when our elders are gone, when our fluent speakers that we're listening to are gone? It's up to us. But you guys stay tuned right after these messages for some more Cree, a Chatter Hour.